Hey, friends, I want to first thank you for tuning in to the SGT Report version of the podcast, The Propaganda Antidote. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? Yeah, shrinkflation. That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Same with the box of cereal. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now. It's how corporations are trying to hide inflation. But the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, friends, thank you so very much for tuning in. It's great to have you back. It's Sean from SGTReport.com and SGTReport.tv with a blockbuster show. All right, before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor, Michael Saylor, the Winklevoss twins, and Chamath Palihapitiya. What do they have in common? They're all billionaires, and they're all also investing in cryptocurrency. Yes, even the richest in the world choose to invest in the future through crypto. Just as when there's big talk about cryptos being volatile, the latest market dip being permanent, and the government cracking down on cryptocurrency and other issues, the billionaires are buying. Why? Because cryptocurrency is the future, and the best time to invest is when there's a dip. So, if you want to invest in the future, start now and start with My Digital Money. With My Digital Money, you don't just get the opportunity to invest, you get the security of knowing you're investing with a US-based company that offers end-to-end service when you want it. So go to mydigitalmoney.com. And now back to the broadcast. Hey friends, thanks so much for tuning in. It's Sean from sgtreport.com and sgtreport.tv here. I have fantastic guests on the line right now to expose the truth about 9/11. Well, why is that important? Who cares, Sean? Well, it matters because the same powers that be are pulling similar tricks again all over the planet. I think the COVID lie and the plandemic is a big part of that, but I digress. Let me introduce my guests. Richard Gage, he is the founder of AE911truth.org, and he was recently kicked out of that organization with some fault to Spike Lee. We'll get into that in a minute. Richard, how are you?
I'm doing good, Sean. Great to be on the show with you.
We've known each other a long time. I met you at a 9/11 meetup way back in the day. Also on the line right now, Barbara Honegger. She's on the board of LC911. That's the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry. How are you, Barbara?
Hi, Sean.
Welcome back. It's been a long time since we've spoken. Spoke with Barbara about 2 years ago about this similar subject. Also on the line, Mick Harrison. He's a superstar lawyer. He defends whistleblowers, 30 years in that business. How are you, Mick?
Good, Sean. Thanks for having us.
You bet. He also sits on the board of LC911. And our esteemed guest, Christina Borgeson, a filmmaker. She made the movie TWA Flight 800, did too much actual investigation, which got her in some trouble with her employer, mainstream media. They don't like that. Too much truth, Christina, and you're out.
That's right. That's what happened to me anyway.
Maybe we'll get into that on this call, but I think where we should begin is some of you are aware that Spike Lee made a documentary about 9/11 for HBO called NYC Epicenters 9/11. I refuse to watch it because I don't care for Spike Lee. He's pushing the COVID jabs on the African-American population. He made a commercial doing so, probably got paid quite well for that. So I am not a Spike Lee fan. I didn't watch it. But what I didn't know is there was a 30-minute piece out of a 2-hour interview done with Richard Gage that was in the original cut. And then Spike Lee got some blowback, I think, from people who saw a screener, and it was removed. I think there's even more to the story. Richard, tell us about that and why you were ultimately expelled from the group you founded, AE911truth.org.
Yeah, quite a story, Sean. In Spike Lee's defense, he called me about a year ago and had me come in because he'd seen our documentary, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. He says, you got to come in here. I'm going to film you. I'm doing a series to be aired on and around September 11th. So I went, he flew me to New York. I was in his studio for 2 hours. He was deeply moved about all the evidence that I had presented about Building 7, the 47-story skyscraper that drops like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically into its own footprint in under 7 seconds after witnesses hear explosions, which the government tried to tell us came down by normal office fires. Ridiculous, right? Well, same for the Twin Towers. And I went through it with him. It was incredible. And he had put that together and was moved. He invited other speakers, other experts like myself and family members, and put together a half an hour of 9/11 truth. And we saw, I didn't see it, but others on our staff over at 8/11 Truth when I was there saw it. And they said it was really well done. Well, what happened then? Slate Magazine dug up some obscure interview in which I made some truthful comments about COVID-19, but I did not, I do not represent 3,500 architects and engineers to speak about COVID-19. I represent them talking about World Trade Center, the evidence there. So it was incredible for me to have seen on Slate Magazine that they put this quote about COVID being a false flag deep state operation and the vaccines extremely dangerous, et cetera. And he was undermined. I think he felt undermined by this. They said, you're going to put a conspiracy theorist on your and give them the greatest platform they've ever had to reach millions of public of the public. So we've got he pulled the whole 30-minute segment because, as you mentioned, he had put forth a commercial encouraging Black people to come and get vaccinated because, you know, they know better and they're not getting vaccinated. So that was the problem. And our PR consultant over at 1811 Truth convinced half or slightly more than half of our board that this is a PR crisis. These comments could come up and haunt us for the rest of, you know, our existence over there. The CEO really needs to step down. He convinced them. And, you know, in a nonprofit organization, the board is what runs the rules the roost. And with a simple majority, you can remove an officer. And so I was removed after heated discussions over there. And very, very unfortunately, I think a catastrophic overreaction on the part of the board at 8/11 Truth. So I'm out on my own. What am I going to do? Am I going to retire? Am I going to accept the funds that have been offered me to not speak again, essentially, i.e. not using the presentation materials that I had developed over 15 years as a strong effort here in the 9/11 Truth movement? My mission's not done, Sean. So I've got to move forward. I developed a website. And I'm saying I wrote a letter in there about this whole thing. I made an impassioned speech on my first podcast, and people can visit that website, which is richardgage911.org. And so that is where I put my case. That's where I'm asking people to support me to continue the effort outside of 8/11 Truth, so that we have this double barrel shotgun pointing at the wall of denial, and we can put a lot bigger hole in it now. There's no animosity between myself and 8/11 Truth, but they're gonna do what they can do, but guess what? I can stretch out my wings now. I can talk about things now that I couldn't before outside the narrow scope of the World Trade Center evidence. So I'm going to have guests on about the Pentagon, about Shanksville, about whodunit, foreign involvement. And now LC 9/11, the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, which we had been working with for years, developing the materials for the lawsuit, the lawsuits against the FBI, the petition that's been submitted to the Attorney General for a grand jury investigation with 60 exhibits that we helped to put together. So they value my technical expertise apparently enough to invite me onto the board at LC 9/11. So I was orphaned by AE 9/11 Truth, but adopted by LC 9/11. So we are working very, very well together. And we've got an exciting project to share with you coming up here on this hour. So I can't wait to get to that part too, but better let somebody else talk for a while.
Yeah, well, I think this is actually a good segue to Christina Borgeson, who knows very well that you're supposed to stay in your lane. Okay. And what's interesting about what you just shared there, Richard, is you're in a truthy business. You helped wake up a lot of people. But here's the sad part. Your board wanted you to stay in your lane. Stay in your 9/11 truth lane. Don't get out there and talk about the dangers of the vaccine or the Rockefeller Foundation and their plandemic with their 2010 report about lockstep, right? Stay in your lane, Richard. And I think the same thing happened to Christina with that film. And I think this is a good segue because Christina, being a filmmaker, is going to be partnering with you all at LC 9/11 to make a new film. But Christina, do you want to just talk briefly about your experience working in mainstream media? You've worked for CBS, you've worked for CNN, you know how these people operate. You made a movie, TWA Flight 800. You did too much research, shared too much truth, and boy, they don't like it, do they?
Well, no. I mean, there's certain issues, I call them third rail issues, and you know, 9/11 is the third rail issue of all third rail issues, you know, and there, if the truth, I always, this is my analogy, if the truth is 12 inches long, you can go into 6 inches, okay? You can talk about the fact that the buildings were destroyed. You can talk about the fact that so many people died. The whole thing is there's a limit to what you can cover about 9/11. And so my experience was with TWA Flight 800. With TWA Flight 800, what you could not report on was any evidence showing that ordnance was involved with the demise of the plane. And, you know, I like to work with firsthand sources. I was working with CBS's law enforcement consultant to talk to divers who were actually there on the scene and so on. And they were saying, there's something very strange here. The Navy is here. Their divers are here. Their explosive ordnance disposal divers are here. And we're not allowed to dive. And they couldn't dive for a week. And then when they did dive, they were only told to go a certain into certain places. Anyway, well, and the CIA was there. It's just crazy. Anyway, I lost my job because a piece of evidence was sent to me for analysis by an inside investigator who thought that the official investigation was being undermined, which it was. And I guess the FBI, he sent it to somebody and the FBI was surveilling that middleman. And the FBI followed the FedEx package that he sent to me at CBS. And so I got the stuff and I put it in a desk. I put it in the desk of Josh Howard, senior producer at 60 Minutes, because it was going to be for 60 Minutes. And 2 days later, the FBI came by and said, oh, this was stolen. You have to give it back. CBS, without so much as a whimper, gave it back. And a couple weeks later, I was told that my contract would not be renewed. That's happened to me more than once. ABC hired me to do through an independent company, hired me to do a segment for a pilot program, a segment on TWA Flight 800. That was really weird because my car was broken into, computer was stolen, and nothing else. Okay. There were other things in the car, golf clubs and expensive computer and papers on TWA were stolen. Everything else was left. Very clean job, by the way. They didn't destroy the lock. And then a few days after that, was told to stand down, that not only my little segment for the pilot was shut down, the entire series was shut down because of this TWA thing. So, and then I got shut down again at working for Dan Rather at HDNet. I was doing a show on the run up to the war in Iraq. And I won't go into that. That's another story. But anyway,
let me ask you something about TWA Flight 800, because I remember that there were eyewitness accounts of perhaps a missile flying up and taking that thing down. I maybe recall even a picture or even video evidence that maybe suggested that was the case. Do you want to just briefly share with us the official story versus your findings?
The official story was that it was a spark. A wire, frayed wire that caused a spark in the center wing fuel tank. And, but of course, if you look at the forensic evidence, just like Richard has done with the World Trade Center buildings, the evidence shows that there was a huge, the radar evidence shows that there was debris flying out of one side of the airplane right after all the power went out. At like Mach 4, a little explosion in the center wing fuel tank would not create, you know, such a huge explosion. Also, the damage inside the plane was not localized to where the center wing fuel tank was. It was random pattern of damage, which indicates an explosion. There were other things, and of course the witnesses saw, but people kept talking about a shoulder fired missile, which it wasn't that kind of a missile, you know, and you can watch the film and see what we discussed there and what the evidence shows. But I mean, this cover up, and it's what's interesting about these cover ups is that there's a lot of work that goes into maintaining the lies. Okay. And I mean, in the media, and when my film came out, oh my God, you know, they dragged out these spokespeople, you know, to come and try and, but the problem that they had with our film, and that's why our film was so successful, was because, I mean, we had the senior National Transportation Safety Board investigator who reconstructed the interior of the plane. He was one of our main whistleblowers. No. We had TWA senior investigator. And we had some big people, so they really didn't have a chance. And plus, you know, our information was tight. It was very tight.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show that there are honest people, you know, at these companies,
yes.
Honest investigators. And I think that's probably true as it pertains to 9/11 and the official story as well. But, you know, the powers that be do a pretty good job shutting people up. You know, firing them from their jobs, you know, as maybe was the case with you, not getting your contract renewed. And I think maybe we should go to either Barbara or Mick and talk about this exciting new project, the LC 9/11 board, the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry is going to be developing a new film outlining the 60 exhibits of 9/11 evidence that were shared in a petition for a special grand jury investigation to the Manhattan AG. And I believe, Christina, you're going to be directing that project, that film. Who would like to tell us a little bit more about that? Mick, I think that sounds real exciting. Or Barbara?
John, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. What I'd like to do, because I think it's incredibly relevant, I think Mick would be the best one to go to that. But before he does, I'd just like everybody to know that, in a nutshell, my personal story as a whistleblower, an international whistleblower, is very similar to Christina's. And that is, I was in the West Wing of the White House in the Reagan administration in the 1980 Reagan-Bush senior campaign transition, West Wing of the White House. And because of my position as the top aide to the senior domestic policy advisor to Reagan, in all three, the campaign, the transition, and the White House for the first 2 years, as well as in the Department of Justice, I was in a position to know from the inside that the 1980 Reagan-Bush campaign effectively stole the 1980 election from President Carter in what is known as the October Surprise Arms for Hostage Delay Deal. And my book, October Surprise, is the first of a whole raft of about a half a dozen books by almost 3 years. Mine was the pioneering book. And what I just wanted to mention, similar to Christina's experience, is that when I went public, I was the first public resignation of conscience from the Reagan White House and Department of Justice to about 10 days of national and international publicity in late August of 1983, and published the longest fact-based so-called opinion piece ever published in the Washington Post, took up a whole page, and was republished in historic documents of 1983 by Congressional Quarterly. So that gives you an idea of the shockwave of what I had to say about the October surprise. But similar to Christina's experience is that when I resigned from the Reagan administration publicly, and then I just became a private citizen, and I focused on the research on the October surprise. And like Christina, I went to the primary sources. I flew to Paris, to Versailles twice, to talk with Abul Hassan Banisadr, who was the first elected president of Iran under the Khomeini regime, and many other direct sources on the October surprise. And then I published my book, October Surprise, which after a very short period of time, then Gary Sick, who was a Navy captain in naval intelligence and had been President Carter's chief Iran expert on the National Security Council before, during, and after the October surprise and the 1980 election. 3 years later, he published a book by the same title, October Surprise, confirming my work. And what's fascinating is that after that happened, because he was an inside the Beltway insider, the Washington, D.C. woke up. And it wasn't long until there was a full subpoena power, House of Representatives investigation, reinvestigation of the Iran side of Iran-Contra. And that resulted in what was called the October Surprise Task Force Report, which was published by the Government Printing Office, which, of course, just like the 9/11 Commission Report, was a bloody cover-up. However, the Lee Hamilton, who was then head of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, he headed up the House October Surprise Task Force reinvestigation of the Iran side of Iran-Contra, and classified and tried to hid away in a vault all of the information that supported the October surprise, which was very quickly leaked to Bob Perry of ConsortiumNews.com, who published it. And you can read all that today if you go to ConsortiumNews.com or .org and look up the October surprise X-Files. So what's like Christina's experience, which is mind-boggling, is that when myself and Gary Sick and Bob Perry and Ari Ben-Menash, who published a book called Prophets of War, from inside of the Israeli intelligence and IDF side, confirming the October surprise and the Israel's involvement in it, so that the October surprise was basically an inside U.S.-Israel job with parallels to 9/11, what then happened is that Bob Perry used to work for Newsweek, and after he resigned from Newsweek because they wouldn't publish the truth about the October surprise, similar as Christina being let go, as it were, from CBS and these other stations when she tried to tell too much of the truth about TW 800 and other things, what then happened is that Newsweek published a cover story on the cover of Newsweek magazine. I believe that was 1983. It was called the cover title, which took up the entire front cover of the magazine, was the October Surprise Myth, M-Y-T-H. And they went into all of the reasons that it couldn't have been true. Then after the previously classified information that was hidden away in a safe was leaked to Bob Perry and made public. Years later, Newsweek magazine, just recently actually, published an article, a major article, And the title of that article was "The October Surprise Was Real!" Exclamation point. So the bottom line message here is the powers that be don't care if you know the truth, as long as you can't make any difference with it.
I think that's true. No, you're right over the target. Continue. Hey, friends, this is a good time for a quick break and a word about our sponsor. Yeah, it's Noble Gold. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Yeah. So anyway, my experience is very similar to Christina's. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of my whistleblowing experience. But let's move on to the exciting news about our joint film project with Richard Gage and the Lawyers Committee.
Absolutely. Mick, before you tell us about that, I just want to say a couple of things. Barbara, you sparked some thoughts because we saw the same thing from Popular Mechanics regarding the collapse of World Trade Center 7. Of course, they want to debunk everything. We see the same thing from the Mockingbird mainstream horror media today regarding the vaccine being safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. Don't look at the VAERS reporting data that suggests thousands of people have died as the result of taking the vaccine, and ignore the hundreds of thousands of injuries. We see this over and over and over again. And thank God we have a tenacious filmmaker in Christina who's going to be working with LC 9/11 committee to make a new film. And Mick, you can tell us about that.
Well, thank you, Sean. The new film is a partnership of Richard Gage and the Lawyers Committee. And Richard brought the concept to us focused on the World Trade Center demolition evidence. And we have expanded it somewhat substantially in concept. And we hope to be working with Richard on a multi-episode documentary film series, which, as we've noted, Christina will be helping us as director on. And the first phase of that series will focus on presenting our grand jury evidence on the demolition of the World Trade Center on 9/11 with a unique twist. And that twist is we want to put the audience, the viewer, in the position that a member of the grand jury would be. So we want the public to hear the evidence as it would be, and as it still may be, presented to a grand jury on the demolition. Now, we expect the film series to go beyond that, the demolition evidence, into an area which is, of considerable interest and has been to the public for some time, and that is the question of, has there been a government cover-up of the demolition evidence? And we do expect in the film series to investigate and develop evidence on that question, the cover-up question as well. And we also hope to analyze the evidence, both of the demolition and the cover-up, and use it to prepare a new groundbreaking lawsuit, which will focus on getting a remedy from the government cover-up. So that's the short version. I'll let Richard and Christina and Barb sort of explicate it. But, you know, we're going to try to put the public in a position of both seeing the evidence as a grand juror would, but also being able to contribute to our investigation as it goes along, episode by episode. So the public's going to be able to participate in this project.
Excellent. Well, Richard or Christina or whoever can speak to the nature of the film. Will it be a nonfiction movie or a documentary? I guess there's two ways to try to skin that cat, you know, sort of like Injustice for All, a Hollywood movie. Christina?
Look, it's going to be sort of a hybrid, we think. It's very important for people to understand why this is so unique and groundbreaking. This is the first time a top investigator for 9/11, World Trade Center, et cetera, is now teamed up with, and this is, you know, the Lawyers Committee is unique because they're the only 9/11 organization that does legal work, that, you know, that is actually looking to prosecute people, first of all, to have these crime, these present the evidence of crimes and to have those crimes addressed in the courts. So this is, nobody's ever seen this before, where the investigator gets together with the lawyer making, the lawyers making the case to present the case to the public. And why is this very important? Because we're knocking at the doors of all these different courts. We're knocking at the door of Congress and so on and so forth. And, you know, so far, people are dragging their feet. People are, so we're going to take, we're, the grand jury now is going to be the audience. And so it's, and but you will get to know Mick and Richard as people, as the amazing professionals and dedicated public servants that they are. And you will get a very clear presentation of the evidence and what that evidence, how that evidence translates into these are the crimes, these are the culprits, to the extent that we can. And, you know, this is what would be going into a courtroom. And now it is in the courtroom of the public.
Excellent. I can visualize it. I can
the
already visualize it.
The world is our courtroom now.
Well, that's very good. The world needs to hear this story. And Richard, I know that you have dedicated your life to telling the truth about 9/11. And again, your former group wanted you to stay in your lane, and you didn't stay in your lane. And they wanted you to pay the price. And they're going to pay you to just shut up and never talk again, huh?
Well, that's what they would like to do. But that's not going to happen. So
actually we engineered that so that we could have Richard, because we needed his investigative prowess.
It was an inside job.
No, I mean, look, I don't think we should focus on that so much, because, you know, A&E had Richard, it was his brainchild. He built it. It's a beautiful organization. It's done amazing work. And because they had this problem with Richard, oh, well, because they're, to me, it's their loss and our incredible gain. You know, it's our incredible gain, and we're going to do amazing things together with Richard and with A&E still, you know.
And it comes at quite a risk, Sean. I'm turning down a lucrative package that's been offered to me, and to basically shut up. I'm going to need support from richardgage911.org to overcome that hurdle, because I want to keep speaking. I want to make this film. And this film will be brought down into bite-sized pieces, chunks, that grand jurors can look at, for instance, the seismic evidence that these weren't planes that caused these seismic events. These weren't explosions, excuse me, these weren't building collapses that caused these seismic events that are recorded 20 miles north at Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory. These are explosions. And it's very, very clear, the evidence. We're going to present that in 10 minutes. And we're going to present the evidence of Building 7. For instance, we're going to introduce Building 7 in 10 minutes. We're going to introduce the official narrative of what happened at Building 7, office fires for the first time in history, bringing a steel frame skyscraper down, even though there's been dozens of much hotter, larger and longer lasting fires. We're going to show that history that's never brought down a skyscraper. We're going to show NIST's theory of how these fires caused the expansion of long span beams, pushing a girder off of its seat on this column 79, and then floor 13 falls on 12, and so on for 9 floors. And then the interior caving in on this 47 story building, 6 seconds, before the overall building drops, just like the old control demolitions in Las Vegas, by the way. So that's going to be shown in 10 or 15 minutes. We're gonna interview Professor Leroy Halsey, who has invested his time for 4 years in a $300,000 report from the University of Alaska that shows that this building could not have come down by office fires, but all the columns in the building had to have been taken out within a second or so of each other for that building to come down the way it did. Well, how does that happen? Well, then we're going to show the forensic evidence that shows how that could happen. And then we're going to, you know, this, so these are 10 minute or so segments. We go into the Twin Towers. We introduce the official narrative there. And then we shoot it full of holes. And then we show the evidence for incendiaries bringing down the towers and high energy explosives as well. So we've got a lot of information to package, and we're going to walk through it step by step in the context of a courtroom or a grand jury meeting room, where we can, as Mick said, put the viewer in the position of being a grand jury and judge that evidence for themselves. We're going to work on that. Go ahead, Christina.
Well, the working title is this is the new angle, I think, which is, you know, our working title is from 9/11, from the crime scenes to the courtroom. And this is the first time that, you know, the lawyers are getting together with the top investigators, and the evidence is being presented, and the laws. I mean, Mick is going to talk about, you know, people don't think about that very often. Like, you know, was there treason involved? Was there murder involved? Was there what are the laws that were broken? What are these culprits guilty of exactly? You know, and why? And what does the evidence show that says, yeah, this is why they're guilty of that? I mean, it's absolutely fascinating, it's extremely important and very damning to a lot of people, known and unknown.
What I think is interesting about this, and I'll turn this to the group, anybody who wants to respond. First, let me just make the observation that what's super, super popular right now in podcasting is this revisiting old murders and retelling these stories and then trying to figure out who really done it. Who done it, right? That's what we want to do here. And it just really, I want to, for the audience, some of whom may be so young, they really don't understand what we're talking about. I just recall so many heroes telling the truth on 9/11. There was a four-part Carl Cameron series on Fox News about Israeli students, Israeli spies, an Israeli spy network in the nation that played a role in this thing and the cover-up of it, in my opinion. There was that famous article written by Kevin Ryan, NIST and the top 10 connections to nanothermite, NIST being the organization that couldn't explain the collapse of World Trade Center 7 for years and years and years and years because they wouldn't consider explosives as being the reason that building was brought down. You know, then we have Larry Silverstein, the owner of the complex, who took ownership 3 months before and had everything insured, double indemnity for attacks of what? Terrorism, and then got paid off. And the mainstream media just covers it up and covers it up and covers it up and won't ever allow people like Richard Gage to be interviewed on CNN or by the Washington Post or New York Times. He just has to suffer hit pieces. So why in a world now where they're trying to force vaccinate the human population with an experimental biological gene therapy, why is this story still so important?
Well, that's a big one.
I'd like to make a comment about the film project, if I could.
Sure.
And there are two major points I want to make about this incredible film project that we're embarking upon in partnership with Richard Gage. The first is how incredibly exciting and motivating it is for the Lawyers Committee. I've been with the Lawyers Committee now for over 5 years on the board, and and being very centrally involved in the research and writing projects, our legal briefs and such, filings. And I have never been as energized as I am now. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe God orchestrated Richard being removed from A&E so that we could get him here. But the partnership is really going to be really, 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 and is already incredibly important. So that's number one. The second major point I wanted to make is that I'm particularly excited about what I call the paradigm of this film project, because the original focus of our film project, and it's a series of short films, a series of films, similar to what Spike Lee did, except much shorter. We are basically turning our World Trade Center grand jury petition, which was filed, submitted to the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York on April 10th of 2018. That's a while ago. And they are still not willing to tell us whether they have in fact complied with the law, which they sent us a letter on November 7th, 2018, saying they would do. They still are not willing to tell us if they've done that. And so we've had to sue, and maybe Nick can go into the gist of where we are with that suit now. But the main point I want to make about this is that what's exciting to me about this paradigm of doing a series of short films that explicate the evidence in our grand jury petitions and our other legal filings, as if we were presenting them to a grand jury directly. What's exciting is that once we have done the World Trade Center demolition, explosives, and incendiaries evidence, and we've gone through that phase with Richard, there are many other aspects of 9/11 that the lawyers committee, at our discretion, and to the point that we've developed the evidence, we can go into all the areas of 9/11. Under this film paradigm of presenting the evidence to a grand jury. So that's the reason I'm personally excited, not just for the World Trade Center part of this film paradigm, but also going into the other aspects of 9/11 with the film paradigm. And lastly, I just want to make clear to your audience, as far as our request for financial support for this project, it's, as Richard has already asked for financial support, to Richard Gage, 911.org. That's extremely important so that he can fly out of the nest and do whatever he does on his own, and also for our joint film project. But I think it's important for people not just to donate to Richard, but also to the Lawyers Committee, because the Lawyers Committee and Richard have agreed that the donations from your audience and anyone who's listening for the film project will go to the Lawyers Committee and then be divided between Richard and the Lawyers Committee. So anyone who is interested in donating to the film project per se that we're talking about now should go to lc4911.org, and there's a donation button, and be sure to say that you're donating for the new film project. So I just wanted to make that clear. We want your donations urgently for Richard at richardgage911.org, and for the film project per se, your donations will be divided between Richard and the Lawyers Committee, but those donations would go to the Lawyers Committee, making clear that you're donating to the film project, and that LEFOR911.org. So thanks for letting me.
Let's be clear that all of your money gets used for the film. It's what makes it happen. This is the most exciting project that I have ever done in my 15-year history of 9/11 truth. And this is going to break through. This is what's going to get us the new investigation. This is putting the evidence actually also in front of the grand jurors, because Mick can explain to you how we're going to do exactly that. Put this film in front of the grand jurors.
Mick, I want you to do that. But before you do, let's just take a look here. LC4911.org. If you type that in, it will take you here. But let's just be real clear about supporting the film. This donate button I see says contribute to legal action. Is that the button people want to click on?
Yes, that would work.
Okay.
Yeah, and anybody who does that needs to let the Lawyers Committee know specifically that they're donating to the film, because we need to keep those funds separate.
Right.
Well, you guys might get a pretty good response. I've got a pretty loyal audience, and if everybody just headed over there and pitched in $5, $10, $20, $100, you're going to see the bump, right, over the couple of days or 3 days from which I post this interview. I hope people get behind the project. Mick, do you want to talk about why this project is still so important to you? This is what, 20 years later, we've got really big fish to fry as it pertains to forced vaccination and global government. I think it's these same players behind what's happening now that I think we're behind 9/11 and the cover-up. Your thoughts?
Well, we haven't taken a position, the Lawyers Committee, yet on the COVID thing. We won't do that until we investigate it. We haven't decided, and mainly that's as much as anything due to limited resources, but we might at some point come to grips with that new evolution of this problem. But until we do, the answer to your question about why 9/11 is so important still, first of all, if you look at the demolition evidence, which no one has been prosecuted for perpetrating the demolition crimes, let's keep that in mind. The perpetrators are still out there who killed more than 2,000 people from the collapse of those buildings via the use of explosives. The plane crashes killed, you know, it was tragic. They killed a number of people, but, you know, most of the victims at the Trade Center would not have died absent the use of explosives. And those perpetrators are still out there. Now, the audience may not know that, and Barb, I'm sure, would like me to remind folks that we did do a grand jury petition on the anthrax attacks and a congressional petition on the anthrax attacks. Folks may not remember, and the young folks may not know, 2 weeks after the 9/11 attacks, we had a second series of attacks using the bioweapon anthrax, including attack on two senators using anthrax. And those, our investigation shows that those crimes are likely connected to the 9/11 attacks. And to sort of give the big picture answer to your question, Sean, there's a lot of evidence to indicate a pattern over history of the use of violence by a certain group of perpetrators to achieve political ends, financial goals, criminal financial goals. And so it's an open and very significant question as to who the perpetrators are for 9/11 who are still out there and for the anthrax attacks and whether they're involved in ongoing crimes. Now, we do intend in the new film to get to what I would call three major mysteries of this greatest tragedy of the last century, really, the 9/11 crimes. And one of those mysteries, thanks to efforts by Richard Gage and Kevin Ryan and Niels Herod and Stephen Jones and a lot of scientists, architects, and engineers, the first mystery has basically been solved. And we're going to explain to you in this film project how that mystery was solved and what the answer is. And that mystery was, why did three steel frame buildings completely collapse for the first time in history on 9/11, one of them not having been hit by an airplane? Well, we now know the answer to that mystery. And, you know, there's dispositive scientific evidence on that. You're going to hear that as a grand jury would hear it in the film series. But the second major mystery is, you know, why hasn't the government come to grips with this now dispositive scientific evidence about use of explosives at the Trade Center? And has there been a government cover-up? And if so, you know, why? Who was involved? The film series will, in its second phase, go into that question as well. And I want to emphasize, Sean, on your point about the popularity of sort of whodunit films and web-based programs, you know, what we're talking about here is going into, through a series of episodes, attempting to solve the mystery of whodunit, which is like the final phase. But let me talk as a lawyer for a moment in terms of this particular nut and how hard it is to crack. The government, for reasons that, you know, we may be exposing in this series and need to be investigated, has chosen to place itself between basically the 9/11 truth movement and even law enforcement and the perpetrators. What I'm saying is that the government cover-up is an obstacle to getting to the perpetrators, the culprits, to solving the whodunit. in order to solve the whodunit, you've got to cut through the government cover up first. And when you do cut through it, the path to the culprits, the whodunit part, is going to be clear. And so we're going to do our best to make that breakthrough in this project, demonstrate the government cover up, and try to explicate what it shows towards answering the question of whodunit. So it's a challenge. We've taken up the challenge, and we hope through this film project, which, keep in mind, we're not just doing a film, we're doing an ongoing investigation that underlies the film. The public is going to follow us episode by episode. And by the way, we're going to need your help to fund us episode by episode. It's not like we have the money in the bank to do this entire ambitious film series. We hope that your supporting this film series will help us get it all completed as we're describing it. So we're going to need your help, not only in giving us your evidence and information and insights, we're also going to need your help in giving us financial support as we do this. And in the end, we hope to get that breakthrough that we're looking for.
Does anybody else have any comments? I've really enjoyed this conversation, and it does not need to end. I know that my audience is very supportive, but unfortunately for y'all, I'm no longer on YouTube with 650,000 subscribers. They kicked me off in October of last year, October 15th, on the back of a Media Matters for America hit piece. Me and dozens and dozens and dozens of other truth producers were kicked off that platform without cause, without reason. Me, after 10 years building an audience. So I don't have the reach I did at that point, but we're happy to get the word out about this film project. Anybody have any final words for us here?
I just want to say that, I've been in the film business for a long time, and I've done some important stuff, but to me, this is the most important thing by far that I've ever, taken on. And I think that if we can make this happen and it's successful and people wake up and see this, and the culprits feel the heat and the courts soften up and let us in, nothing can be more huge than that, really.
And it's all about the justice for the family members who were murdered on that day, Sean. This is why we do what we do. And their family members of those victims, we are motivated by them. They will be appearing in the film. People will be able to connect the heartless evidence, if you will, to the emotional impact, the reality that not just 3,000 murdered on that day, but of course millions in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and the devastating loss to our economy of a $6.5 trillion global war on terror, which all goes back to the attacks on 9/11. And so if we can tie this together in this film to make this a reality for the American people, including the realities of the Patriot Act, the Military Act, Military Commissions Act of 2012, and others that have stripped our liberties and installed a surveillance state, which now we know, because of 9/11, every email and every phone is recorded by default and can be used at will without proper legal measures that were secured by our Constitution. We have to go back and pull the rug out from underneath the bed of lies that we've been fed, and that at least half of America has swallowed hook, line, and sinker. And so there's got to be a film that will just shake it in front of everybody. AE 9/11 Truth recently produced the film Unspeakable. That's the story of four families' struggle. What we're doing now is saying, okay, what will gird up their stories? What is the evidence that will make people realize that they're not just conspiracy theorists, that their concerns are absolutely valid and science-based? And so I did want Mick to talk about how the grand jurors will indeed see this film.
Okay. So there are two ways that could happen. And keep in mind, as Barb correctly reminds us, the government has talked around the question in our lawsuit. And by the way, we have a pending lawsuit in the Second Circuit, U.S. Court of Appeals, alive as we speak, about ready for oral argument on the question of whether the U.S. attorney should be compelled to give our petition to the grand jury. But technically, the government has sort of done one of those non-denial things and not actually said whether they've given our petition to the grand jury or not. They've suggested strongly they have not. They certainly said they don't have to. There's a chance the grand jury has seen it, but there's a 95% chance it hasn't yet. And through this film project, which is a point Richard wants to make correctly, we're going to do this video in a way that it actually is a nice, efficient presentation of the evidence as it would be presented to a grand jury. And then we're going to submit it to the grand jury through the U.S. attorney, as we must by law. And it should be put in the hands of the grand jury itself. So the grand jury should get to actually watch this film and see it sitting in their actual chair as a grand jury member, just like the public will be in a simulated grand jury chair. So we hope to do that. There is another option which has not been explored yet. And if we get your support for the coming year, we may, you know, we may have to do it and we may do it. And that is to present this video project, this film series, to a federal judge as a summary of the grand jury evidence, as we ask the federal judge, him or herself, to hand this evidence directly to a grand jury, essentially circumventing the U.S. attorney. Not every judge would want to do that. Judges have the power to do that. And we think if the judge sees this evidence efficiently presented, we may well get the objective achieved that way. And if I could add one more thought in terms of my closing thoughts, you know, it is, as Richard says, you know, ultimately the need to get justice for the victims of 9/11. And in a sense, we're all victims, but we don't have the same personal tragedy as the family members. And that's what keeps us motivated. We do hope that the family members have success in their efforts in other forums, other fora, to get a remedy. Most folks know there's a big lawsuit in New York for a lot of the family members against the Saudis. That's still trudging through the courts. It's been a long haul for them. But, you know, that lawsuit isn't geared towards exposing the perpetrators who did the demolition crimes. And our investigation project and the film project based on it is going to go to the heart of that question, ultimately trying to get to the whodunit part for the demolition crimes that killed so many people on 9/11. And we are building towards a new lawsuit that will seek a remedy for the family members and maybe others, based on exposing the cover-up, focused on the cover-up. You know, getting a remedy for the cover-up is the cover-up that has prevented the family members from getting to the real perpetrators who killed so many of their loved ones, the demolition crimes. And we hope to get a breakthrough on that through this project.
Yeah, I'd like to make a closing statement. It's Barb. I just want to remind people that we really urgently and deeply need your financial assistance to make this incredible historic film project into a reality. And there are two places to donate for that, for the film project per se, and your donations will be split between Richard Gage and the Lawyers Committee, would go to the Lawyers Committee, and that is www.lc4.org, lc4911.org. And we thank you in advance for all the support that you can give us. This is truly a historic project and potentially the breakthrough we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, be a part of a film. You can be a film producer. you can be a part of producing this film. Imagine that. The best film, not the best, but the most effective and probably the best too, for getting the evidence out there. This would be the quintessential film replacing 9/11 explosive evidence, Experts Speak Out, which is now 10 years old. This one will have experts in it, in addition to Mick and myself. But it will be broken down into bite-sized pieces, as I mentioned, but each piece will go viral on YouTube, and people can share, okay, did you see this one? Okay, did you see this one? A lot of people these days don't have 2 hours or 3 hours, and this may end up being a 4-hour film in these bite-sized chunks, designed specifically for you, the public, to be sitting in the grand juror's chair, looking at the expert testimony. Now, it won't be boring. We're going to have you get to know these characters and expert witnesses and family members. And it'll be done with variety and depth, but ultimately designed to appeal to a grand juror who actually, as Christina reminded me, is really just another person.
It's probably, you. Yeah, it could Christina. Be you. It could be you. It could be any. Grand jurors are just, you know, regular folks. So, you know, and the other one thing I wanted to say is, you know, 9/11 is the crime that keeps on giving. And it keeps on taking from all of us. You know, when we travel, we're all treated like potential terrorists. Our tax dollars are going to these ridiculous wars that do nothing for us except bring more violence. You know, we're being surveilled to within an inch of our lives. At the core of this project too, is restoring this nation as a nation of, you know, a nation of laws, you know, that laws are obeyed, and when they're broken, and when huge crimes are done, the perpetrators are brought to justice and held accountable.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's, it's everything. It really is.
Yeah. And I'd like to
add, Sean, I think this is important. And I just wanted to add what Mick said about the project and Richard. And that, especially Richard's last comment, and that is that I'm sure, I know from our discussions about the film project that we're expecting and hoping to also have as part of the film, the film short series, to have film of whistleblowers and insiders and eyewitnesses, not just experts. Why don't we put it out? You have an incredible audience, and they know people who know people who know people. And if there's anyone out there who is an insider who knows the truth about what happened on 9/11 from
any
inside
aspect of it,
military, intelligence, community, elected or appointed government positions, please get in touch. If you would like to be part of this film project, to be interviewed or to give us your testimony confidentially, we will protect your identity if you wish, or ideally you would be willing to go public as part of the film project. Get in touch with the Lawyers Committee at LCFOR911.org, LCFOR911.org. We need you. It's now time to come forward. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a powerful and important call to action. We need whistleblowers, just like Project Veritas relies on whistleblowers and those that are willing to come forward on behalf of humanity. Because, again, for those listening who don't understand why this topic is still so important, let me just rewind time briefly as we summarize this thing and wrap it up. On the back of 9/11, as Richard mentioned, there was the Military Commissions Act the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act. They always roll out these measures that strip us of our liberties on the back of what they call an emergency. Now, the same thing is happening today with the experimental vaccination. And I want people to understand this. It's very important. From FDA.gov, emergency use authorization of medical products. Let me read this. Quote, although informed consent as generally required under FDA Regulation 45, it's not required for the administration or use of an EUA product. Emergency use authorization products like the Pfizer vaccine, they don't have to give you informed consent, according to the FDA. That's what we're up against. They continue to rob us of our liberties and our informed consent. And I want to get to the bottom of what happened on 9/11. I've wanted to get to the bottom of this story for 20 years, Richard, as you have. And I want to thank you for all you do, sir. And then we'll say goodbye to the rest of our guests. Final word from you, Richard.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate that so much. 15 years is just not enough, apparently, to cut through and get a real unimpeachable investigation and to wake up the American people. So I'll give it another 15 years if I have to, Sean, and this film will live a lot longer than that after we make it. So let's have everybody be a producer of a major film that will change the landscape of 9/11 truth, and maybe make, instead of half the people aware that there's an issue about 9/11, all of them. We can do that together, but we can't do it alone. And we can't do it without all of you pitching in at lc4for911.org. That's lc4911.org. Thanks again, Sean, and thanks, everybody.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. I want to thank you all of you, all of our guests, for taking the time today. And friends, I will leave the link to lc4911.org below if you want to pitch in. I know that our guests would very much appreciate it. I would appreciate it. This is a film I want to see made. Barbara Honegger, thank you. Mick Harrison, thank you. Christina Borgeson, thank you so much. And of course, Richard Gage, I want to thank you all so much for what you do.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
It's my pleasure. And friends, thank you so much for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv who are helping keep me and my little team in the fight for truth. We've got our backs up against the wall, friends. The enemies of humanity are really pulling out all the stops as we talk. So let's get to the bottom of what happened on 9/11, and then let's get to the bottom of all the other lies and disinformation as well. If you want to do some of that research on your own, I'll remind you, you can visit us every single day for free at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. I want to personally thank you for tuning in to the podcast version of SGT Report, the propaganda antidote. And just a quick word about our sponsor, Shrinkflation. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Now, the only reason why this hasn't happened in America, the only reason why the Biden administration hasn't sent its stormtroopers into people's houses to forcibly vaccinate them, is that there's 450 million guns in the hands of the American citizens.
Well, that's it for now, friends. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And I'll remind you every single day for free, visit us directly at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.